information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge,
we care.
Here to border
it shows.
The law?
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
In politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, to the latest carefully orchestrated episode of MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, Archie Bunker. Fake terror and fake diplomas, free drugs, job cuts, fixed facts, FBI, M1, Mueller and Macy, and the Fairness Doctrine, e-cigs, chemo, cola, medical, martial law, and tase your kids to work day. Plus, all the latest updates on 9/11, Obamasiya, cyber drug, econowars, swine flu, and Bilderberg 2009. All the news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups are here. Episode 124 of MediaMonarchy.com.
You already know what time it is. It's a mission move.
Everywhere we go, every day on TV, they be talking about who you gonna vote for. Got a black man running, but I wonder if he get in, who you gonna open up the door for. I don't wanna discourage my folk, I believe in hope, I just want us to want more. Politics is a game, how they keep us contained, it gotta be more than we can hope for. Democrats and Republicans, just two sides of the same coin. Either way, it's still white power, it's the same system, just change form. You wanna vote? Please do. Cast your ballot, let your voice be heard. But what I do wanna say is after the election, you'll see, mark my word.
It's politics time again. It's politics time again. It's politics time again.
The messenger. This is the most important election of all time. The government committing the biggest of all crimes. These bullshit politicians say they speaking for the people. Before they ran for office, they were cheating all the people. $1 billion campaign, $1 trillion bailout. Anybody know the definition of a sellout? And if Obama win, he wouldn't be the first black. Take your $2 bill and turn it over to the back.
Right there.
But with the TV on, you only hearing Dave's voice. The system is broken, they trying to be the dead horse. Go ahead and vote for the lesser of two evils. I plot, plan, and strategize with the poor people. The middle class will say this opinion is irresponsible. If you ain't got no healthcare, they kicking you out the hospital. McKinney, Clemente, up in the Green Party. No disrespect, we need a red, black, and green party. Like Marcus Garvey.
It's politics time again. It's politics time again. It's politics time again. It's politics time again. Even if Obama wins, Uncle Sam made my friend.
Dear President, information age, you already know what time it is. It ain't about the lesser of two evils. It's all power to the people.
It's politics time again.
It's Politrics time yet again. Dead Prez, off their latest record, Information Age. And you already know what time it is. It's 10 a.m. Pacific time on the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, every Friday morning at 10. It's mediamonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster. Coming to you live, also 1 p.m. Eastern Time, revereradio.net, the worldwide home of free speech. Also, thanks to 98.5 Free Radio Olympia, frolympia.org, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Also, thanks to 93.9 KBFR, boulderfreeradio.org.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Now, it's not the last time we're going to hear from Dead Prez in this episode, nor is it the last time we're going to hear about Boulder Free Radio on this episode. Well, we also, of course, thanks to Glenn at CascadiaPublicRadio.org. And again, you know how to get me. FaceSpace, YouTube, Yahoo, IM, Skype, Twitter, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, Archive.org, and on and on. My, what a busy week. It'll be a miracle if I can cram all this into one episode. If you can find another underground podcast that gives you more news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups, you should tell me about it. Like we do, let's start off the episode by checking out what's breaking in the news world. Jobless rates hold steady in Texas. However, West Virginia, Ohio, Rhode Island lead the nation in the jump in jobless rates. This from Bloomberg. West Virginia, Ohio, and Rhode Island showed the biggest increases in unemployment in April as the worst job slump in the post-World War II era rippled through the economy. The jobless rate in West Virginia climbed to 7.5%, up 0.7 from March. This all coming right now from the Labor Department, and this is just breaking in the last half hour or so. We also, of course, have the Obamasiah making the rounds, the commencement rounds, and we'll make a note in a little bit about the protests at Notre Dame. However, speaking today in Annapolis at the Naval Academy, there was no one protesting there. They all love their change agent. They can't wait to go to Pakistan. We've also, from Fox News, have Ron Paul making the case for closing Gitmo. So that's what's popping right now on this morning, May 22nd, 2009. Like I said, it's episode 124 of MediaMonarchy.com. Let's start it off with something a little fun, something a little interesting, something that kind of puts the media into the monarchy. It's Archie Bunker on communism, gun control, and preventing 9/11.
Good evening, everybody. This is Archie Bunker of 704 Hauser Street, veteran of the big war, speaking on behalf of Guns for Everybody. Now, question. What was the first thing that the communists done when they took over Russia? Answer, gun control. And there's a lot of people in this country who want to do the same thing to us here in a kind of conspiracy, see. You take your big international bankers, they want to, what we call, masticate the people of this here nation like puppets on a wheel. Now, I want to talk about another thing that's on everybody's mind today, and that's your stick-ups and your skyjackers. Which, if that was up to me, I could end the skyjackings tomorrow. All you got to do is arm all your bastards. Maybe you got more superiority there, and he ain't going to dare to pull out no rod. And then your airlines, then they wouldn't have to take the passengers on ground no more. They just pass out the pistols at the beginning of the trip, and then pick them up again. Yeah.
This is CBS.
Norman Lear and the writers for All in the Family made R.G. Bunker into a reactionary stereotype. In the clip you just heard, they attempt to extend that reactionary stereotype to gun control and the Second Amendment. In the process, however, the fictional character Archie Bunker speaks more truth than Norman Lear and all the other writers probably intended. And it's all in there. 9/11 style skyjackings and the international bankster overthrow. So thanks to whoever posted that up, and you can follow it back to not only InfoWars, but DailyNewsCaster.com, and of course links for you to read more about All in the Family, which I didn't know was actually a ripoff from some European show, as it seems that most of our American television is. Which, and as I'm thinking of it, I'll throw it out. I said, my, what a busy week, as I was rolling on the bus down here to do the show. I see tonight in Portland we got Mos Def, Doves, and Jerry Seinfeld. Would dig seeing any or all of them, but probably won't see any. But enough of that. We got a lot of terrible news to go over in the 521 News Purge. We're going to start off with the cyberspace war. We've been noting the prepping for something related to the power grid and cybersecurity. So here are just some of the latest headlines in the cyberspace war world. Internet generation ill-prepared for adult life. That's from the Telegraph. Wolfram Alpha suffers last-minute launch hitch. If you recall, we mentioned Wolfram Alpha, some new type of internet structure and search engine that doesn't really seem to be doing much of anything. WolframAlpha.com, and you can play around with it yourself. We've mentioned the FBI going dark. That's the name of their little plan for high-tech surveillance. That's another one from Tom Burkhart at Anti-Fascist Calling. FBI going dark budget request for high-tech surveillance capabilities soar. Corporate media exploits teen idol to push the cyberbullying bill. That's right. Hannah Montana, Alaska, Nebraska, getting into the cyberbullying meme. I think someone called her fat on MySpace, so we should pass new congressional laws. It all ties in. Internet data heads for 500 billion gigabytes. That's from The Guardian, and that's a lot. YouTube has restored the official Alex Jones channel. There's been a bit of a battle going on lately on YouTube. I don't suspect we've seen the end of it. And I'll also just throw out, if you like the videos that are up on youtube.com/MediaMonarchy, you should grab them and save them and share them, because you never know when it might get popped for me uploading one too many corporate news clips. A related bit, however, we've got the New York Times and the New York Press attacking the conspiracy theorists of the film New World Order that we mentioned several weeks ago from IFC. But switching to the space world, future combat systems. We've been talking about FCS for a long time. It's basically a networked robotic army. And it's over budget and over scheduled and isn't working very well, but they don't want to let it go because it's easier to kill people with a remote control than if you do it point blank. Future combat systems not killed. That's from DODBuzz.com and from Danger Room. Army promises their new future won't creep. Referring to, of course, mission creep. The idea that you start out with a singular idea and it bloats and runs and gets away from you. Incompetence? FCC can search homes without a warrant. Agency says that comes from Raw Story. However, they're sourcing it back to threat level. on Wired in their article, FCC's Warrantless Household Searches Alarm Experts. You may not know it, but if you have a wireless router, a cordless phone, remote car door opener, baby monitor, or cell phone in your house, the FCC claims the right to enter your home without a warrant at any time of the day or night in order to inspect it. That's the upshot of the rules the agency has followed for years to monitor licensed television and radio stations and to crack down on pirate radio broadcasters. And the commission maintains the same policy applies to any licensed or unlicensed radio frequency device. Anything using RF energy, we have the right to inspect it to make sure it's not causing interference, says FCC spokesman David Fisk. That includes devices like Wi-Fi routers that use unlicensed spectrum. I don't have time to get into the nuts and bolts of all this and some of the questions about it, about what's licensed or unlicensed. But let's jump to the important part, my friends, jumping down a little bit. The rules came to attention this month when an FCC agent investigating a pirate radio station in Boulder, Colorado. They left a copy of the 2005 FCC inspection policy on the door of a residence hosting the unlicensed 100-watt transmitter. The statement says, quote, whether you operate an amateur station or any other radio device, your authorization from the commission comes with the obligation to allow inspection. The notice spooked those running BoulderFreeRadio.org, who thought it was just tough talk intended to scare them into shutting down, according to one of the station's leaders, who spoke to Wired on condition of anonymity, saying, quote, this is an intimidation thing. Most people aren't that dedicated to the cause, and I'm not going to let them into my house. But refusing the FCC admittance can carry a harsh financial penalty. However, if we jump down to the last paragraph. In the meantime, pirate radio stations are adapting to the FCC's warrantless search power by dividing up a station's operations. For instance, Boulder Free Radio consists of an online radio station operated by DJs from a remote studio. Miles away, a small computer streams the online station and feeds it to the transmitter. Once the FCC comes and leaves a notice on the door, the transmitters move to another location before the agent returns. That article is from Threat Level. That's kind of big. FCC's Warrantless Household Searches Alarm Experts. And that involves our friends, my friends, who are kind enough to rebroadcast MediaMonarchy.com on BoulderFreeRadio.org, KBFR 93.9. Now, whether or not I should have read that entire article out, laying out the game plan, yeah, not so sure. DARPA's simple plan to track targets everywhere. That's, of course, from Danger Room. DOJ and FBI networks come under attack just as the cybersecurity bill works its way through Congress. This from Kurt Nimmo, but sourcing back to Network World and the Associated Press, reporting that malware has crippled computers at the U.S. Marshals Service and the FBI. The U.S. Marshals Service, a division of the Department of Injustice, is the oldest federal law enforcement agency and has served the country since 1789. It was not clear if the malware was the cause of the network outage or if the agency took down systems to stem the spread of what was believed to be the NERIS worm, N-E-E-R-I-S, which saw a new version appear last month that copies Conficker's evil ways. Convenient. Computer virus strikes U.S. Marshals and the FBI. Again, from AP, Breitbart, and more. Again, with YouTube. Again, with those dastardly, bastardly folks at 4chan.org. Their latest prank, following up the rigging of Time Magazine's online poll of the 100 most influential people, they have now flooded YouTube with porno. I'm not sure how many videos YouTube claims they've gotten rid of, a lot of them, but they also hid them under names like Hannah Montana and the Jonas Brothers. Finally, on the cyberspace war tip, net threatened by censorship, secret surveillance, and cybersecurity laws. That is from globalresearch.ca. A few notes on the drug war, and again, The chorus seems to be growing, my friends. The media is getting high on the idea of decriminalization of marijuana. I believe it was my man Jamie who sent me the clip. First place I saw it, it was only hours later that I saw places like Raw Story pick it up. I don't have the rep's name off the top of my head, but we're going to listen to a brutal clip. It goes up there, perhaps, with even some of the things like McKinney grilling Rumsfeld. However, it's Mueller getting grilled on legalizing it.
Do you feel we're any closer to winning the war on drugs based on all of the problems with Mexico and the cartels and the fights over our border and the drugs being imported from Mexico than we were last year?
Well, whether you call it a war on drugs or some other term, I mean, I firmly believe that we need to do what we should to stem both drug trafficking into the United States and drug usage in the United States. And I do believe there have been some successes, particularly when it comes to the use of drugs by children in high school or college and the like. There are others in the at the ONDCP and others who are much more familiar with that than I am.
You say some successes. Yep. Do you have any statistics to show? Statistics I should see say that more people are using, say, marijuana than have, because the public doesn't has a feeling about use of certain drugs that maybe the FBI doesn't. Is there a better way, and some people have suggested, looking into a system of legalization that might be effective in stemming the tide of drugs from Mexico and then the border wars and the immigration problems from Mexico? Have you considered this as a possibility?
I think anybody who looks at this problem considers it, and ultimately, when you look at it, rejects it. I tend to think that the use of particular drugs goes in waves. You'll have marijuana for a period of time, then you'll have heroin, then you'll have cocaine, then you'll have crack cocaine, then you'll have methamphetamine, and then you'll have Oxycontin, and it goes in waves. And
let me ask you about
many
the
people. I'm sorry, but there are too many individuals, both parents and others, who have lost their lives to drugs to give a ready answer that it should be legalized.
I agree with you, sir, and there are lots of parents who've lost their lives to crack cocaine, methamphetamine, to heroin, and they've somewhat gone in waves. Name me a couple of parents who've lost their lives to marijuana.
Can't.
Exactly, you can't, because that hadn't happened. And there hadn't been a wave, because that's been a constant thing in America since Harry Anslinger, because African Americans used it and saw it as something that was crippling and gave it to the Latin Americans and put an ethnic tone to it. When have we, don't we, is there some time we're going to see that we ought to prioritize meth, crack, cocaine, and heroin, and to deal with the drugs that the American culture is really being affected by and lives are being lost?
The only thing I would say, since you talk to parents who've lost their children to drugs,
right,
they will inevitably say that they started off with marijuana.
They probably started off with milk and then went to beer. And then they went to bourbon, and then they might have gone to marijuana. The gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality. Obviously, we're going to have they're not going to agree there.
You have not seen before, nor will you see again, FBI Director Robert Mueller so thoroughly humbled in a discussion about drug policy before the United States Congress. In this instance, Representative Steve Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, Democrat out of Tennessee, gets Mueller to admit that marijuana has never killed anybody, then smashes into tiny bits the decades-old gateway drug argument with a unique analogy of milk and bourbon. Sounds pretty good about now. Anti-drug effort in Afghanistan is a failure. That's a big surprise from the AFP. We also have, again by way of Raw Story, a video that's a brief history of cannabis. There's no usable audio for me to play for you, and it is, however, a extended commercial for the new season of Weeds on Showtime, which I will admit I have watched most of them, if not all of them. And it was good. First season was great. Now I think I just kind of watch it because it's kind of ridiculous and funny. But what isn't ridiculous and funny, now on to geopolitics around the world. Sri Lanka declares a final defeat of the Tamil Tiger rebels. That's from Press TV, and we also have the specter of mass suicide as Tamil Tigers faced their final battle. That is from Time Magazine. Of course, you can read tons about that I only know very little, I will admit to you quite readily, but I believe it's been a 25-year war. Satellites show Pakistan supersizing its nuclear weapons complex. That's, of course, from Danger Room. Ex-U.S. envoy considers key role in Afghan government. That's from TheLedger.com. I believe they're talking about Khalilzad. U.S. arms sent to Afghan forces end up in Taliban hands. Another big surprise from the AFP. Iran tests missile with range that can hit Israel. Iran test fires surface-to-surface missile capable of reaching Israel or U.S. bases in the Middle East. That is also from The Guardian. Ahmadinejad claims missile landed precisely on target. And finally, on the geopolitics tip, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu vows Jerusalem will remain Israel's capital forever. History mystery. This is where we can talk about everything from fossils to Nazis. We have the first review of Inglourious Basterds, the new movie from Quentin Tarantino. It's about Nazis. Did the Mafia kill JFK? That's from news.com.au. Again, more on the bullshit. Not entirely bullshit. From Lamar Waldron and Tom Hartman, Legacy of something. The mob did it. And again, did the mob cover up the crime scene, reroute the parade route, steal the body, botch the autopsy, set up a cover-up commission? JFK assassination, a video view. That's from MLive.com. However, case of the missing H-bomb. Pentagon lost the mother of all weapons. This is from Alternet, and it goes under their environment heading. And again, I believe it also comes from Counterpunch. 60 years have passed since a damaged jet dropped a hydrogen bomb near Savannah, Georgia. And guess what? The Pentagon has never found it. U.S. presidents have approved or vetoed false flag operations against the U.S. That's from the Seattle Exopolitics Examiner. Check it out for yourself. Of course, the first example, Operation Northwoods. Shooting down jets. Blaming it on Cuba. Kennedy said no. And fired Lemnitzer. Two new books. One covers neo-Nazis and other ultra-right groups in U.S. politics. It's from a Kansas City writer, and that's from Fox4KC.com. The other is a book about the Black Panthers, and that's from Fosters.com. Scientists hail stunning fossil. If we hit the link, we go to the BBC, and we see the photo of the amazing and bizarre 47-million-year-old fossil. The missing link, they ask. Finally, from the BBC on the history mystery notes, and they ask, have you heard the hum? For decades, hundreds of people worldwide have been plagued by an elusive buzzing noise known as the hum. Some have blamed gas pipes or power lines. Others think their ears are faulty. A few even think sinister forces could be at work. That's from the BBC, and one thing it doesn't mention is one of the well-known hums I have heard of, and that's the Kokomo hum. And I believe there's one that's to be heard near Eugene, Oregon. So again, no time to go into all that right now, but you should investigate the hum for yourself. And now what's become a regular feature on MediaMonarchy.com is just the general level of chaos and death and destruction and murder and mayhem. Spider-Man suicide. Actress Lucy Gordon has hanged herself. That's from Copycat Effect. Four U.S. citizens found strangled in Tijuana. That's from the Associated Press. Louisiana student shoots himself after missing his shot at his teacher. That's from the Washington Times, as well more from Lauren Coleman at Copycat Effect. More from Alex Constantine on the curious crash of Flight 3407, asking the question, was First Officer Rebecca Shaw fatigued, as they just painted her in the recent commission and committee hearings? If you hit that link over to aconstantineblacklist.blogspot.com, you can check out the video of the mom of co-pilot Rebecca Shaw saying she was not fatigued. They're trying to pin it on her. Again, hopefully more in depth on Flight 3407 very soon. The Wesleyan shooting linked to the protocols of the Elders of Zion, again from Copycat Effect, again returning to the Wesleyan University in Connecticut shooting. Gilded youth kills his family following rage over money. That's from Russia Today. Air Force jet crashed yesterday in the California desert. In the update early this morning, the Air Force confirmed a pilot was killed in the T-38 crash. That's from the Associated Press and Military.com. New Mexico mom charged with killing son on the playground. Ex-soldier gets life sentence for Iraq murders. That's from the New York Times as well, from Time, asking and saying, when a soldier commits murder, life in prison for Stephen Green. But let's not forget the Obamasiah and the Apostles of War. Again, I think I mentioned last week how hard it's become to separate the current puppet administration from the previous puppet administration, and what with all the latest from Darth Cheney and the torture memos and the photos and state secrets and all that bullshit that continues to this day that you thought was going to end after the election. But as we heard in the beginning, you got politricked. Here we go. Obama greeted by cheers and protests at Notre Dame, and he waded into the abortion debate with his graduation speech at Notre Dame. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency and Associated Press. Anti-war Democrats still can't give peace a chance. That's from McClatchy, and it's basically saying, yeah, you got into power, but shit ain't happening yet, is it? Politricked. This is a great one. There's another great one coming up, too. Two ridiculous bits that lay it all fairly bare. Corrupt Congress critters forgot to take AIPAC off of the file name of a letter to Obama about Middle East peace. That's coming by way of thinkprogress.org and tons of other places, and you can see the file name. It began with the word AIPAC. So when they sent it to him, written, of course, coming from the mouth of AIPAC, they forgot to take the author's name off of it. McChrystal was Cheney's chief assassin. That's from Press TV. That's Stanley McChrystal. That's the guy who helped cover up the murder of Pat Tillman. And that's the guy who may become the head of the new Afghan-Iraq, Afghan-Surge meat grinder. There are other things that swirl around with Hirsch and all that. We'll probably hit a headline referring to that. Was McChrystal involved in Cheney's executive assassination ring? That's the question. That's a question, one of the many questions. Obama dares judge to order the release of NSA spy documents. That's from Threat Level. Obama, war criminal in chief. That's from Uruknet. Biden reveals classified information. WeeklyStandard.com, as well as tons of other places reporting about Big Mouth Biden mentioning that Dick Cheney's undisclosed location is probably at the Naval Observatory in Washington. Someone left souring on Obama. That's from Politico, and I say not fast enough. Obama rethinking troop levels. That's from Military.com. Billy Boy Clinton, of course, tapped for a United Nations mission in Haiti. That's from Press TV. The 13 people who made torture possible, from Salon. We also have an investigator in a video noting that probably up to 100 detainees died in U.S. custody. Any torture investigation should focus on the deaths of approximately 100 prisoners who were in U.S. custody, says attorney and human rights investigator John Sifton. Obama's going to hit up you for emission and miles per gallon standards. You bear the brunt, although you're not the one shelving better technologies. This is the other funny one that lays it all bare. Bible quotes adorned covers of top secret Rumsfeld intel reports. We've got that from Think Progress and Raw Story. Under Rumsfeld, Pentagon published Bible verses on top secret intel reports. You can see them quite plainly. All the JPEGs and screen grabs and everything are there for you. Noting that you should put on the full armor of the Lord. Admiral Mullen cites nukes as a pretext to kill more Pakistanis. That's from InfoWars. Suspected war criminal to lead U.S. forces in Afghanistan. That's another note on Stanley McChrystal. That's from Online Journal. Obama continues torture and murder in the bogus war of terror. We've got one from Winter Patriot, who we don't hear a lot from lately. Winterpatriot.blogspot.com. First principles, or why I cannot support Obama. Speaking of not supporting Obama, we heard Dead Prez at the top of the show with the track from their latest record, Information Age, Politics, and I gotta thank my man James Corbett at CorbettReport.com for turning me onto that song when he recently interviewed M1 of Dead Prez about him and other hip-hop stars lining up against Obama.
Tell us about your latest single, Politics.
Well, Politics came at a time when we were analyzing the run for president, the presidency by Barack Obama, and then former candidate John McCain, and the political environment that it emitted to our people. So we were giving a kind of, in one instance, at a glance, analysis of where the whole presidency, the candidacy for his presidency was running through. We spell it Politics with a triple K because that I think that brings at least us to a clear anchoring point by which we begin the discussion, recognizing that the U.S. government has been part and partial to a tirade, a campaign that has been exacted against African and foreign oppressed people in this country by organizations like the Ku Klux Klan. For years. And so with that being a lot of the base and foundation of the political groundwork that has been laid in this country, then I thought it was a great preface for how Obama should be understood, the phenomenon of Barack Obama should be understood. And so in it, it was the thing that would be the leader, the lead-off kind of ground bud towards our Information Age album, and with the tagline for that album being, it's what you don't know that can hurt you. And so what we wanted to do was more kind of give that perspective, or an informed perspective, definitely on politics, raw, outright politics, like the presidential campaign that happened, or the contest for the U.S. imperialism that happened here, and around the world. So that's where we started with the campaign.
M1 of Dead Prez, recently interviewed by James Corbett on CorbettReport.com, hip-hop stars lining up against Obama. More on Obamasiah and the Apostles of War on this massive 521 news purge. Senate rejects funding to close Guantanamo prison. That's from the Washington Post. The need for a speed read to pass the climate bill. That's from the Wall Street Journal, and that involves another ridiculous round of bills that Congress doesn't have the time to read. Obama said to consider preventative detention plan. Preventive detention plan. From the New York Times, President Obama told human rights advocates at the White House on Wednesday that he was mulling the need for a preventive detention system that would establish a legal basis for the United States to incarcerate terrorism suspects who are deemed a threat to national security but can't be tried. Two people in the private session leaked that out. Not exactly calling it a leak. New York Times is telling you about it. That Eric Holder and Obama are considering preventive detention plan. Change. Obama seeks to retake the terrorism front. That's from CQ Politics. And again, noting we're still following the path of the fake war of terror. Watching Obama morph into Dick Cheney. That's a great one. It's up on InfoWars, I believe. Yes. Paul Craig Roberts. Obama signing statement weakens whistleblower protection. That's from WSWS.org. Federal court says White House doesn't have to release records about missing emails. That's from Threat Level. A new poll done by Richard Viguerie. 91% of conservatives think Obama is a socialist, Marxist, communist, or fascist. ConservativeHQ.com. So that's not a big surprise, but it's interesting when you see it written all out. We have a transcript of Obama's recent speech by way of McClatchy. We also have Rumsfeld's special unit responsible for the worst killings in Afghanistan. That's by way of allgov.com. Hirsch says Cheney had Bhutto assassinated for saying Osama was dead. That's from Winter Patriot, and I believe Hirsch says I didn't say that. U.S. officials admitted that boys were sodomized in Iraq prison. Again, I think Hirsch referred to it as the soundtrack of the Shrieking Boys. Jesse Ventura, again, has been making the rounds. He noted he's been on The View and on with Hannity and all over the place. Larry King, noting that Cheney should be waterboarded, but that his weak heart wouldn't survive it. We also have a transcript of Cheney's speech, again by way of McClatchy, where they also point out he ignored some inconvenient truths. But the last note, again, is we're conflating. I'm not trying to, you know, it's not hard to do. I'm not trying to force some kind of relationship between Cheney and Obama and all this WWF bullshit. Taking a shine to Dick, Cheney's approval ratings have gone up. This just because of his recent rounds that he's been making. Put him on TV, people love it. American Idol, Dick Cheney, American Gladiators, what the fuck? A couple notes of Oregon oddities. Open murder conspiracy in Portland, Oregon. This is one that was sent to me by my man Spencer at ChicagoCopWatch.org. And it's all laid out on Portland Indie Media. However, it's kind of a big mess, and I'm really not sure what to think of it. But the link is there. You can check it out. Tread lightly. Again from McClatchy, but noting our earthquake fault here in the Pacific Northwest is much larger and much more dangerous than previously thought. The last subheading on this massive news purge, of course, there's no escape from Police State International. A lot of terror drills, a lot of fingerprinting, a lot of microchipping, a lot of checkpoints going on as the window closes. Military to use Burton, Michigan as a training ground for a whole week. That's from MLive.com. And I believe we have to hit the link and see the first paragraph from this article. Again, this is coming out of Michigan, Burton, Michigan, and the writer, Bryn Mickle of the Flint Journal, starts it out by saying the black helicopter crowd's worst fears of a new world order are coming true. The military is invading Burton, but it promises to only stay a week. The U.S. Special Operations Command is using Burton as a training ground for military exercises. Government readies Youth Corps to take on vets. That's from truthnews.us from Forbes magazine. Robots that kill for America. San Antonio to get Air Force Cyber Command. That's from mysanantonio.com. After the big Air Force One jet scare, New York actually warned the citizens, the civilians, about their latest WTC terror drill. More on that in just a little bit, but that is from Yahoo. Denver, of course, home of the New World Airport. They had a recent terror drill testing their terror response. Hundreds involved in the huge drill. That's from 9news.com as well as the Denver Post. Airport security bears all, or does it, from CNN. But we also note from Raw Story and Raw Replay that privacy advocates call for an end to the airport full body scan. The Electronic Privacy Information Center, that's epic.org, has launched a campaign calling the TSA to halt its use of whole body imaging.
Privacy advocates have had issues with the technology called millimeter wave right from the get-go, but they're launching an online petition campaign to stop, at least for the time being, what they refer to as a virtual strip search. The technology called millimeter wave doesn't leave much to the imagination as it scans the body looking for concealed items.
It basically just lets us know if there's anything out of the ordinary that's sticking outside their clothing, their belt, a cell phone,
or a weapon. The Transportation Security Administration is pilot testing millimeter wave at screening checkpoints at 19 airports with an eye to deploying it more widely. But privacy advocates say there are no formal rules for how the machines and the images they generate will be used.
I'm worried that the technology can retain images, that those images may be used for more than just travel screening purposes.
For instance, they might turn up on the internet.
Now, you heard it from who is, I'm sure, a well-trained employee of the TSA mentioned that they're just looking for things out of the ordinary, like belts and cell phones. UK towns hire citizen snoopers as young as 7 to spy on their neighbors, becoming green shirts. New York City to expand emergency notification system. That's from ABC News. In critical NSA case, the government still rests on their state secrets claim. That's from The Atlantic, and that refers to the previous two previous headlines that we hit. That's about those emails, and that's about those NSA documents Obama's daring a judge to make them release. State secrets. U.S. to check immigration status of people in local jails. That's from the Washington Post. The Liberty City 7 case. Oh, that's right. You could only convict 4 of them because it's another case of phony, trumped-up, provocateur bullshit. More of that on just a minute. However, this, an op-ed that's in the Miami Herald, Liberty City case, a gauge for first strikes. Pentagon bomb squad also wages info and corporate war. Goody. Of course, Danger Room. InfoWars had an article and a video noting AmeriCorps and their paramilitary propaganda ad. Of course, the video has been yanked. The subgroup of AmeriCorps is called City Year, and they removed the video because it's basically showing the civilian National Security Force. We need a civilian National Security Force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded. Military personnel ordered to comply with illegal private gun registration. That's from Truth News. Team stages terror drill at Beltsville, Pennsylvania. We also have thousands beaten and raped in Irish reform schools. That's from the Associated Press as well, from around the world, and again laying bare the complete corruption of most organized religions. Sorry. FBI use of Patriot Act authority increased dramatically in 2008. That's from Threat Level. We note here shortly, and if we have time, a little more, But that is, of course, the arrest warrant issued for the mom from Minnesota who took her 13-year-old boy away because they don't want to give him chemo. But apparently the state thinks they own your kids. That's from the Washington Times, and of course, all around the world. That's one of those great media meme stories that gets everybody talking about who owns what. I will note that I have friends who have had cancer and have gone through chemo. We have articles, and again, if we have time, on foodworldorder.com noting the quackery of chemo. That I kind of hesitate to put up something like that because I haven't talked to my friends that have gone through chemo or have had relatives go through chemo and then later die. So it's one of those things that, yes, I put it up on the website, but don't think I'm so cold and cavalier that I don't give a shit about what people have gone through that I have not experienced myself. So feel free to tell me to shut the fuck up. Or we can have a discussion about it later. But I digress. Military, we already read that. Illegal private gun registration. Let's get to the Fixated Threat Assessment Center. That's from elementalsblog.com. Again, tying in with the threat assessments and the MIAC reports and the scare of homegrown terrorism and violent radicalization. We've also got the Kindy Police in Australia patrolling little kids' lunches. We have a motorcycle rider tagged with an RFID bracelet because he dropped candy accidentally. That's from MotorcycleNews.com. Tape of beating leads to firing of 5 Birmingham, Alabama officers. That's from the New York Times. DHS may be called to explain their right-wing extremism report. Gun scare at the University of California at Irvine served as a test for their text alert system. That's right, when a guy with a paintball gun was maybe seen on campus, they, of course, fire out all their text messages and Twitter reports about, holy shit, there's a fucking gun, everybody get down. Or you're locked down and they don't know what's going on. And, of course, if it is a real or staged shooter event, the cops will hang back for a long time and won't do anything about it anyway. But I digress again. Tennessee speeders could get fingerprinted. That's from the Tennessean. Pavlov's Kids, Psychological Terrorism and Conditioning Aimed at the Youth. That's from BlacklistedNews.com. And another terror drill. This one in South Dakota.
9/11 made all of us more aware of the potential terror attack. Since then, the Department of Homeland Security was formed, and extra security measures have been taken nationwide.
And today, right here in South Dakota, a simulated explosion at the Lake Oahe Dam in Pierre that drew emergency personnel from across the state.
Action News reporter Don Crawley joins us live to tell us how well those agencies got it done. Don.
Brian, 33 agencies participated in this drill with tasks ranging from rescuing people from buildings to figuring out what chemical caused the explosion. Responders are on land, in the air, and on the water to figure out what caused the explosion at the Oahe Dam.
On arrival, there was a few hiccups, but as a multi-agency, when they train together, and that's why we do this, it is... It's hard to get the communication started.
From the police to the fire department to military personnel, it's essential that everyone work together. And as the day progresses, that's what's happening.
More terror drills, more fear-mongering from the Department of Homeland Stupidity. That video and clip is by way of KSFY. Arrests on the U.S.-Mexico border decline at 27%. Former colonel advocates military attack on partisan media. I think we have to hit that link and just see what that's about. A former United States Army lieutenant colonel who worked for military intelligence is calling for the military to attack and kill partisan media. In a report penned for the rabidly pro-Israel group JINSA, Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, Ralph Peters writes that media have determined the outcomes of conflicts and as such should be considered targets. You can hit that on securityaffairs.org. We've had busts and terror and drills But how about fake diplomas at the U.S. Army Aviation and Missile Command in Huntsville, Alabama?
As Director of Readiness for the Army's Aviation Missile Command, Chris Oletti carries the weight of our missile defense readiness on his shoulders. He's also carrying other baggage.
Did you get a degree from that degree mill?
Secrets, lies, top secret clearance, access to classified information about missile defense.
I didn't talk about.
Something someone in his position would probably prefer you didn't know.
It's on your bio.
So I don't even understand what you're talking to me about.
Did the system promote him despite his bogus degree?
Well, you work on Redstone Arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And does the Department of the Army care that he has a fake credential?
But you have an obligation to talk to us. Taxpayers pay your salary.
It's a secret that potentially compromises the integrity of the United States Army Aviation and Missile Command, and certainly defrauds you, the taxpayer.
You don't want to talk about a degree from a degree mill?
And it's a scandal that's not been exposed until now.
There's more from WHNT. That story, fake diplomas at the U.S. Army Aviation and Missile Command in Huntsville, Alabama, is just one of their breach of trust stories that also expose phony college degrees in the military, danger of a defense contractor with a fake degree. America. Fuck yeah. And fittingly, as a way to clean up this massive 521 news purge, closing it out by way of the Washington Post. Sweeper cams, just one part of DC's plan for broader parking enforcement. That's right, even the street sweepers will be spying on you. Oh, but that's not all. It just gets worse from there. We had this story break yesterday, May 21st, 2009. My headline, FBI sells fake bombs to fake terrorists and foils a fake plot. This by way of KYW1060.com, but of course a long laundry list of links to the BBC, as well as the Deutsche Press Agency, HistoryCommons.org, Bloomberg, New York Daily News, the Associated Press, and Think Progress. An alleged terror plot has been foiled in New York City. A year-long FBI investigation ended with the arrests outside a Bronx synagogue. Four individuals were arrested for planting bombs in front of two synagogues in the area. NYPD Commissioner Ray Kelly says the men were not part of any known terrorist organization, just criminals with long rap sheets, and the FBI's Joseph Demarest says the bombs weren't real. The men bought what they thought were explosives and Stinger missiles from an FBI informant, hoping to blow up the synagogues in an upstate Air Force base. They believe the informants to be Jaish-e-Mohammed, a known terrorist group banned by the United States. Their motive? Of course, anti-Semitism and resentment for the U.S. military campaign in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Three of those arrested are U.S. citizens. The fourth is Haitian. The FBI sells fake bombs to fake terrorists so they can foil a fake plot.
The FBI says an undercover investigation has netted four men allegedly planning to detonate a bomb outside a Jewish temple in New York City and then shoot down military planes with guided missiles. Officials say the four men, all from Newburgh, New York, wanted to detonate a car containing plastic explosives to destroy the Riverdale Temple in the Bronx and the nearby Riverdale Jewish Center.
According to them, they were going to be successful. I mean, they took the steps to plant the devices they believe to be explosives in two vehicles parked in front of two Jewish temples or synagogues.
The alleged military target included planes from the New York Air National Guard base at Stewart Airport in Newburgh. Authorities say the suspects tried to acquire Stinger surface-to-air guided missiles.
I mean, I'm delighted that
the good police work and investigative work by the FBI nip this in the bud. But at the same time, to think of the fact that a bomb could have been placed here a few hours ago and exploded with devastating negative effect is a very frightening thing to contemplate.
I think just tells everybody that, you know, anything can happen at any time, but, you know, we obviously have people out there looking after us, and, you know, thankfully nothing seriously dangerous happened.
Authorities say the four men tried to acquire weapons through an informant who was working under law enforcement supervision.
The operation was fully controlled by the Joint Task Force of the FBI throughout.
The four men were arrested Wednesday in New York City. They're expected in federal court Thursday morning.
A lot of disbelief here in this Bronx community after FBI officials intercepted a terrorist plot at this Bronx, New York synagogue. Now, here's what we know so far. Four men have been arrested. Three of them are U.S. citizens. One of them are of Haitian descent. FBI officials said that this has been a long time in the works. There were sting operations specifically set up to Washington, and it all culminated last night when the men came here and planted bombs on some of the cars here at the synagogue. FBI officials said that none of the people here were in any harm because the bombs that were sold to these men were plastic bombs, so they never would have detonated. But still, these men are being charged with some very serious charges, weapons of mass destruction. And on top of that, they had the intent of shooting down some military planes with missiles. Mayor Bloomberg and Commissioner Rick Kelly were on hand here to give a little bit more background on what exactly happened.
No, they stated that they wanted to commit jihad.
Right now, these men are in custody, and we're hoping to get a few more details that we can share with you later.
The latest provocateur, trumped-up terror bust involving poor, not very smart guys who are shepherded along by an informant, funding and fanning them every step of the way. Liberty 7, Fort Dick 6, on and on and on. Those are just the fun alliterative ones I remember. You can download the FBI's full allegations PDF, all linked up for you. And again, like I said, there's a whole host of research links for you. However, let's break it down in a way that only Paul Joseph Watson can do it. New York terror plot, another government provocateur setup. The corporate media and the authorities are having a field day lavishing saturation coverage of the so-called New York terror plot in which four men, three of them U.S. citizens, supposedly plan to blow up a Jewish temple and shoot down military planes, feverishly citing it as another example of why we should accept police state measures in major cities and the targeting of American citizens as domestic terrorists. The only problem with this premise, mirroring just about every other major terror plot and terror bust that we have ever studied, is that the men were radicalized and provocateured by an FBI informant who provided the group with the fake weapons that led to their arrest. Just as in every other case, the men will likely turn out to be semi-retarded dropouts who eagerly followed the Fed's lead in the pursuit of a promise of massive cash gifts and a way out of their miserable, poverty-stricken lives. However, that won't be reported with one iota of the gusto that the corporate media whores are pushing on this story yesterday and today. FBI sells fake bombs to fake terrorists and foils a fake plot. It's now that I should tell you that we're into hour number two of episode 124 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's May 22nd, 2009. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, coming to you live from the Portland Radio Authority and the Revere Radio Network. We kicked off the show and started the first hour with, of course, the interesting note about Archie Bunker on the international banksters and communism and gun control and preventing 9/11. The other kind of funny one, albeit in a much more disturbing way, comes to us by way of the Miami Herald and TampaBay.com and on, of course, as only Florida, America's Wang, could do it. 43 kids stun-gunned at prison's Take Your Kids to Work Day. Again, from the Miami Herald. A total of 43 children were directly and indirectly shocked by electronic stun guns during simultaneous Take Your Sons and Daughters to Work Day events gone wrong at three state prisons, according to new info provided last Friday by the Florida Department of Corrections. Also, a group of kids was exposed to tear gas during a demonstration at another lockup. Three prison guards have been fired, two have resigned, and 16 more employees, from corrections officers to a warden, will be disciplined due to the incidents that unfolded April 23rd, said DOC Secretary Walt McNeil. An investigation is ongoing. None of the children in any of the incidents required medical attention or was notably harmed, McNeil said. Yeah, not notably harmed, just scarred internally for life. He said the children, who ranged in age from 5 to 17, were all children of prison officials. Now, if that doesn't disturb you, and if you don't think the apple's going to fall far from the tree on that one, so they were actually... In nearly every case, the guards had permission from parents or grandparents to administer the electronic immobilization devices. McNeil also said, quote, I can't imagine what these officers were thinking to administer this device to children, nor can I imagine why any parent would allow them to do so. This must not happen again. Again, we almost have to laugh to not cry. It's the parents of these kids who did it. So even when they ask the question, I can't imagine what kind of parent would consent to this. Well, I think we've discovered what kind of parent. A crazed prison industrial complex kind of parent. Jesus Christ. Let's keep moving. And we're going to note two recent rulings from the Supreme Court of the United States, you know, that unelected body that, you know, sometimes appoints our presidents. What are you going to do? The first one, the bad one. SCOTUS says Ashcroft and Mueller can't be sued for post-9/11 torture. This by way of Reuters, as well as the BBC, as well as great links, of course, as always, to historycommons.org. The Supreme Court rejected on Monday a lawsuit by a Pakistani man against a former U.S. Attorney General and the FBI director claiming abuse while he was imprisoned in New York after 9/11. By a 5-4 vote, the U.S. High Court overturned a ruling that Javed Iqbal, last name I-Q-B-A-L, who was held more than a year after 9/11, could sue former Attorney General John Ashcroft and current FBI Director Robert Mueller. Remember we just heard from him a little bit ago, getting grilled by Steve Cohen about the bullshit of the drug war? Yeah, that guy. The decision appeared to be narrow, limited to the facts of the case, although it could be cited as a precedent in other lawsuits. The civil case involves different legal issues than the recent demands by human rights groups to hold former Bush administration officials accountable for what they describe as torture of terrorism suspects. Iqbal, a Muslim, said in the statement that he had suffered verbal and physical abuse, including unnecessary strip searches and brutal beatings by the guards. He said he had been singled out because of unlawful ethnic and religious discrimination. Writing for the Supreme Court's conservative majority, Justice Anthony Kennedy said Iqbal's lawsuit failed to plead sufficient facts to state a claim for purposeful unlawful discrimination. Kennedy also ruled there was insufficient evidence that Ashcroft and Mueller had deprived Iqbal of his clearly established constitutional rights. So they're basically saying, not saying they didn't torture you and do all this shit, you just don't have all your ducks in a row. So on a technicality, yeah, you can't sue them. But the second ruling, a positive update to this story, to this posting about SCOTUS, they upheld the medical marijuana law. This by way of, again, raw story in the Los Angeles Times and sign on sandiego.com. The Supreme Court refused to hear a case on Monday contesting California's medical marijuana law in a win for medical marijuana advocates. The case involved two California counties that contested a measure allowing medical marijuana, which was approved by voters in 1986. Proposition 215, I believe, off the top of my head. Lower courts have sided with advocates for medical marijuana. San Diego and San Bernardino counties have fought state laws which require counties to issue medical marijuana ID cards. They argued that the state law allowing marijuana was at odds with federal drug laws. So the state's saying, no, we're subservient to the federal government. We're going to see a lot more of states' rights as this year grinds on. Another media note, this one, very, very positive. This one made me happy. And again, always trying any way I can to put more media into the monarchy. This by way of CNSNews.com, actor William H. Macy opposes the Fairness Doctrine. Academy Award-nominated actor William H. Macy told CNSNews.com that the government should not regulate talk radio so that it's balanced. They're, of course, referring to the Fairness Doctrine. So in this clip, it's a little noisy. The video is there. By way of CNSNews.com, it was outside, of course, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Of course, we played the clip for you last week where Obama jokes about Air Force One. But here is the well-spoken, and you can even tell by the pauses that he takes. He's thinking about what he's going to say. In a way, he's going, wow, you're not asking me a bunch of celebrity bullshit. You're asking me about real questions. William H. Macy opposes the Fairness Doctrine.
Hollywood actor William H. Macy says the federal government should not regulate talk radio's content with some variant of the Fairness Doctrine or local ownership rules because, quote, this is America and you can say anything you want. He also says the average American is, quote, smarter than all politicians.
What's your impression of the White House coverage of the president so far, media coverage? Is it fair, adequate, or do you think they should be harder on the president?
I think it's been fair. I think what he's brought to the body politic is legitimately fresh and new, and everybody has a right to be excited about the new wave, the fresh air that's been brought in. By the same token, I think the honeymoon is over, and he will be judged harshly, as anybody who wants that job has to be prepared for. But I think he handles himself with such grace. In my lifetime, we haven't had a president that had the grace that our present president does.
Evan Thomas of Newsweek has said that it is the press's job to be hard on the president, and Chris Matthews has said that he wants to see the president succeed. It should be their job to help the president succeed. Which one would you agree with more?
Well, I worry a little bit about the demise of newspapers because I think our country depends on investigative reporting, and I believe our country is as free as it is because there are a lot of people looking for the skeletons in the closet, and that keeps us free. By the same token, I think the press has a responsibility to report fairly. Find reporting on both the left and the right, which is so skewed and so with such an agenda, to be a disservice. It's a disservice to their readers because they're not really reporting the news. They're trying to proselytize, and I don't think it's right. But thank God we live in America where the average American is smarter given all the politicians the best day they were born. America's smart. We can see through these guys. We can smell the jive as they're talking.
Should the government regulate radio stations and different outlets like talk radio specifically to be more balanced? Should they regulate ownership and regulate content to make sure it's balanced?
Absolutely not. This is America. You can say anything you want. I think it's fair that if you say stuff that's not true and it hurts people, you can have suit filed against you, but I think the courts can deal with that. And perhaps the government has a right to file a civil suit for liable, but no, this is America. Everybody gets to say everything they want. This is America. The Nazis have to be able to march in Skokie, because this is America. And criticizing the government is not anti-American. It couldn't be more American.
Nicholas Balassi, CNSNews.com, Washington.
Now, of course, he meant libel, not liable. But other than that, well-spoken, well-thought-out thoughts from actor William H. Macy on Obama, the Nazis, the First Amendment, and the Fairness Doctrine. Now it's time for the Econo Crash. Free drugs, cut jobs, and total control. We first note, by way of the Miami Herald, that Pfizer is offering free prescription drugs for the unemployed. So you can while away those hours in a psychotropic stupor. Another great article from Global Research from Richard C. Cook. The system is designed to exert total control over the individual. What impresses me in the current financial crisis is the near total failure of the so-called progressives to appreciate the magnitude of what's going on or the level of intelligence behind it. How many will say, for instance, that the crash was deliberately engineered by the creation then destruction of the investment bubbles of the last decade? When the financial system creates bubbles, it drives up the cost of assets far beyond their true value in producing or storing wealth. When those bubbles burst, the value of the assets plummets. Those with ready cash then buy them up on the cheap. When the dust settles, more wealth has been concentrated in fewer hands. The rich get richer, and ordinary people are left in a deeper condition of indebtedness, poverty, and pressure to perform to the liking of the financial masters. The money masters, if you will. Progressives tend to think the system needs to be reformed. Maybe the banking system needs to be re-regulated or even nationalized. Maybe it should be possible for families facing loss of their homes to get a lower monthly payment from a bankruptcy court. Maybe the government, instead of the private sector, should administer student loans. What we fail to acknowledge is that the system itself is totalitarian. This means that it's designed to exert total control over the lives of individuals. We're accustomed to this label, or rather to use this label, when thinking of anachronisms of history like communism or fascism. We don't understand that global finance, capitalism, and the government which protects, enables, and even regulates it are also totalitarian. That's just the first couple paragraphs from the powerful new article from Richard C. Cook, noted 9/11 truther, UN ambassador, or somehow connected to the UN, I believe. I'm just pulling that off the top of my head. Check it out yourself. But moving down the Econo Crash, we note by way of Yahoo and their tech ticker, if you're not petrified, you're not paying attention. The worst is yet to come. We also have more notes on the collapse of California. Schwarzenegger threatens to sell state landmarks to close the budget gaps. That's from Raw Story. Of course, we noted last week he was talking about letting tens of thousands of prisoners out of jail to save money. He's also talked about decriminalizing marijuana. From Democratic Underground, Los Angeles facing a fiscal emergency declaration. We also have the FBI probing a Fresno-based business where the CEO was found dead. That's from the Fresno Bee. U.S. automaker GM plans to close 1,100 dealerships. American Express cuts 4,000 jobs. Obama says U.S. long-term debt load is unsustainable. SEC lawyers probed for insider trading. That's by way of Reuters, and Cryptogon.com notes that, of course, it's just business as usual. The insider trading, that is, not the investigation of the corrupt Securities and Exchange Commission lawyers. The financial storm rolls on, reviewing Ellen Brown's landmark article, Web of Debt, Part 3 on Global Research. We have Tucson Citizen, that's a newspaper, dead. They printed their last print edition last Saturday. American capitalism gone with a whimper. But now we note, as we have noted before, H.R. 1207 and also Senate Bill 604, Ron Paul's Audit the Fed Bill, where he notes we must first audit the Federal Reserve, which of course is neither, and then we must end it.
Ron Paul with your weekly update from A18. I have been very pleased with the progress of my legislation. H.R. 1207, which calls for a complete audit of the Federal Reserve and removes many significant barriers toward the transparency of our monetary system. This bill now has nearly 170 co-sponsors with support from both Republicans and Democrats. Senator Bernie Sanders has introduced a companion bill in the Senate, S-604, which will hopefully begin to gain momentum as well. I'm very encouraged to see so many of my colleagues in Congress stand with me for greater transparency in government. Some have begun to push back against this bill, and I am very happy to address their concerns. The main argument seems to be that congressional oversight over the Fed is government interference in the free market. This argument shows a misunderstanding of what a free market really is. Fundamentally, you cannot defend the Federal Reserve and free market at the same time. The Fed negates the very foundation of a free market by artificially manipulating the price and supply of money, the lifeblood of the economy.
If you'll forgive me for a moment, I kind of got distracted. I've noted in our new studios in Southeast Portland, here at the Portland Radio Authority, that we actually kind of have a window front so I can see people walking outside. Pretty sure I just saw Stephen Malkmus of Pavement walk by and kind of look in the window for a second. It may not have been him, but he lives here. But I digress. We have a few other Ron Paul-related news bites. Of course, he and Tom Woods are in Seattle this weekend from the 22nd to the 24th, their Campaign for Liberty conference. We also have a couple articles and a couple videos of slick Rethuglocrat Lindsey Graham slamming Ron Paul at a South Carolina GOP convention, where he says to the rising chorus of boos and jeers that start to come up, Ron Paul is the leader of this party, to which you hear some people go, yes, he is. We also have, as we've noted, I believe, before, but again, more articles, more videos, Ron Paul's son, Dr. Rand Paul, is launching an exploratory committee for a Senate run in Kentucky. A few updates from yesterday, May 22nd, or rather May 21st, on the Econo crash. The real lesson of the financial crisis, that's from Counterpunch, GM bankruptcy plan eyes quick sale to the government. That's from Reuters. That means you, but you'll just see the downside. You won't get any of the spoils. Anything extra, they take. Any deficit, you have to pay. No future for a cashless society. This is from The Scotsman. And it notes a study about a cashless society, written by Nikki Burridge, again, by way of The Scotsman. Britain will never evolve into a completely cashless society, according to a new report. The long-term psychological impact of the recent financial crisis will mean people will continue to rely on tangible notes and coins, according to the study, which was carried out for ATM operator Bank Machine. At the same time, the resistance to change from an aging population, concerns about a surveillance society, retailer resistance, and Britain's attachment to sterling will ensure cash continues and will continue to be widely used. It also notes how will bake sales and churches and things have sales if it's all cashless. So while it won't be a cashless society tomorrow, I wish I could buy their optimism that it'll never happen. Of course, all we need is the right catalyzing event. Obama wants U.S. to loan $100 billion to a global bailout fund. Again, from CNSNews.com, U.S. Treasury Secretary Tiny Tim Geithner rejects limits on executive pay. Again, more from Representative Alan Grayson. He's introducing the Paid Vacation Act. Of course, last week, we heard the clip of him grilling a Federal Reserve spokesfront about they have no idea where any of the money is and where it goes, and it's all gone, and they're not looking. But we have to hit this one from the Courier Journal. Emergency preparedness exercise held at banks. This out of Louisville, Kentucky. Banks running terror drills. They don't call it a terror drill, but that's exactly what it is. U.S. to steer General Motors towards bankruptcy. Punny headline notwithstanding. That's from the Washington Post. And again, we've noted Chrysler's dead. GM will soon die. And of course, noted Nazi, or at least sympathizer, Henry Ford, the Ford Motor Company will, of course, rise from the ashes like a phoenix. U.S. shuts down Bank United SFB in the biggest bank failure so far this year. That's from the AFP. And a couple more notes. Florida's Bank United is the, if you're keeping score, kids, it's the 34th bank failure of 2009, already way more than 2008 altogether. And it's going to cost the FDIC $4.9 billion. So some of the updates from the Washington Post, as well as Finance from Yahoo. We note that the Carlyle Group has swooped in as a buyer. Remember how we noted from the article from Richard C. Cook just a few minutes ago about how things get inflated and then they pop the bubble, and then those with ready cash, like Poppy Bush and the Carlyle Group, scoop in, swoop in, scoop up. Again, another note from FireDogLake.com. Representative Grayson says, audit the Fed. And I'll tell you one more time, it's Ron Paul's H.R. 1207 bill, audit the Federal Reserve. We're now going to move to the latest 9/11 updates. Fixed facts, theater, law, and WTC terror drills. That's right. First, another note on the new book from John Farmer Jr., The Ground Truth, where even the publisher notes in some of the press for the book that the official story of 9/11 is, quote, almost entirely untrue. A link, if you can believe it, to dailycosts.com, as well as, again, to go get the book on Amazon, The Ground Truth. Another one from Global Research noting that, like Iraq, the facts regarding 9/11 were fixed around the policy. Three facts show that the government fixed the facts regarding 9/11 around a policy decision to exonerate the government from any blame whatsoever. Point one, 9/11 Commission Chief Counsel says official story, quote, almost entirely untrue. There was an agreement not to tell the truth about what happened. That's a quote. And as we just mentioned, Daily Cause notes it in a recent recommended story. And of course, all the libs and all the anti-truthers come out in force on Daily Cause anytime you talk about 9/11. But as DailyCause.com notes in a recent recommended story, the senior counsel to the 9/11 Commission, John Farmer, states in a new book that the official story of 9/11 is almost entirely untrue. As noted last month, Farmer also says, quote, at some level of the government, at some point in time, there was an agreement not to tell the truth about what happened. Point two, the government used communist-style minders to intimidate witnesses. The government used minders to intimidate witnesses to the 9/11 Commission. You can hit links and read more about internal memos and go to washingtonsblog.com. That's George Washington's blog. The third and final point, the main sources of information were not even remotely credible. The fact that people were tortured in order to justify the Iraq War by making a false linkage between Iraq and 9/11 is gaining attention with a link to McClatchy. As if to hammer that home, Another one from 911blogger.com. 41 U.S. counterterror and intelligence veterans challenge the official account of 9/11. The growing number of people can always be tracked on patriotsquestion911.com. I don't believe I've ever posted a story from playbill.com, the noted theater review and handbook to the world of theater, where we note 9/11 conspiracies fly in the world premiere of Stephen Dietz's new play, Yankee Tavern. The world premiere of Yankee Tavern, a new post-9/11 thriller by the prolific Stephen Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, set in a crumbling New York bar in which a young man grapples with questions, quote, about his father's best friend, his mysterious past, and a stranger who knows much more than he should. That according to Florida Stage. Suddenly, he finds himself caught in a web of conspiracy theories surrounding the 9/11 attacks, and outlandish hypotheses become dangerous realities. More on that from the Sun Sentinel. Conspiracy theorist Sue St. Louis, that's from CourthouseNews.com. Unfortunately, we don't have time for that, but let's move now to the latest World Trade Center disaster drill and how, as even the Telegraph out of the UK notes, that it echoes 9/11. More than 800 rescue workers have staged a disaster drill at a commuter rail station at the World Trade Center site in scenes that echoed images from 9/11. Hundreds of firefighters, police officers, and other rescue workers descended on the tracks of the PATH rail tunnel linking Lower Manhattan to New Jersey after the mock explosion was set off on Sunday morning. About 150 volunteer victims boarded a New Jersey-bound train, but 1,200 feet from the station, the train stopped, power was cut, and emergency services were called. They secured the scene and then brought the pretend victims, who were covered in makeup simulating blood, grime, and serious injuries, out of the tunnel. Officials bought TV advertisements and plastered train stations with posters to warn downtown residents of the drill. There have not been as many responders at Ground Zero since the 9/11 attacks. Links in there to WPIX.com, CBC.ca, the Associated Press, TribecaTrib.com, as well as the New York Daily News, World Trade Center disaster drill scene echoes 9/11.
More than 800 police officers, firefighters, and other emergency crews participated today in the largest disaster drill since 9/11. Using 150 volunteer mock victims, this exercise helped prepare first responders for real-life emergency situations.
This is a full-scale exercise operation at the World Trade Center PATH station. The main thing we're trying to evaluate is the ability of all these agencies to work together. The scenario that we played today and are continuing to play right now is a PATH train traveling toward New Jersey, having two explosions on that train. Smoke filled the tunnel. We had some 700 to 800 passengers on this train.
I was playing the role of an injured victim to wait for them to take me out of the train and for them to test their operations as far as rescuing the survivors. There was an explosion and then there was smoke, and it was pretty frightening. The response was pretty quick and was pretty good, and I think that we'll be okay, but I think they need to do probably more drills.
More drills, more desensitizing terror drills. That's what we need. But still moving through the latest 9/11 updates, fixed facts, theater, law, and WTC terror drills, we again note that a main source for the 9/11 Commission report was tortured until he signed a confession he wasn't even allowed to read. That's again from WashingtonsBlog.com. Again, we note Jesse Ventura making the rounds. We noted last week, of course, that even the folks that we like, Ron Paul and Jesse Ventura and the like, that they're all hardcore when they're on our kind of shows, but when they go on the mainstream media, they're not quite as hardcore as we'd like them to be. However, Jesse Ventura had the misfortune of being on the Sean Hannity show, where they did mention the 9/11 Commission.
This country was far better off before George Bush than it is after George Bush.
I'm going to quote you the 9/11 Commission report. For an entire decade, I'm glad I can make you laugh.
When you bring up the 9/11 Commission, that makes me laugh.
For an entire,
because they didn't investigate nothing.
Well, I agree. And to one extent, you're partially right, but they did get one thing right, that there were a group of radicals that were at war with the United States, and we weren't at war with them. Yeah. You saw the first Trade Center bombing, the embassy bombings, the USS Cole, and we have radicals that think God is going to reward them in heaven with virgins, Jesse. How do you stop them? Tell me what you do.
You pay attention to memos on August 6th that tell you exactly what Bin Laden's going to do. Instead, we hear Condoleezza Rice going, I didn't know what they were going to do. And the memo says, Bin Laden set to hijack planes and ram them into buildings.
I have a better idea.
And your buddy, George Bush, he was on vacation in Crawford at the time. Did you know he took over 900 days of vacation?
No, president's never off. The president, do you know that? Let me give you an example.
This one was, he wasn't on his watch because the biggest attack in history happened on his watch.
Jesse Ventura and Sean Hannity. The last couple 9/11 updates on this posting. Zelikow failed to mention possible criminal referral of false statements by NORAD and the FAA in a memo to 9/11 commission heads. This is by way, of course, of 911blogger.com. This was posted up by Kevin Fenton, one of the hard workers behind the fantastic historycommons.org complete 9/11 timeline. And there is a link to a document recently discovered in the National Archives that shows that in a memo to the 9/11 Commission's chairman and vice chairman on false statements made by NORAD and FAA officials about the failure of U.S. air defenses, the commission's executive director, Philip Zelikow, failed to mention the possibility of a criminal referral. This supports allegations that Zelikow buried the option of a criminal referral by the commission to the Justice Department for a perjury investigation. Buried. That Cheney speech we mentioned a little while ago, Raw Story notes that he mentions 9/11 25 times. And lastly, again, from the great work, Washington'sBlog.com. The Columbia shuttle investigation, $175 million tab. The Challenger explosion investigation, $100 million tab. The 9/11 investigation, 15 mil. One thing I will throw out, and it's something I only discovered last night, I believe, and I'm not sure how I came across it, but it's one of the more interesting bits of 9/11 coverage. And again, I don't have time to get into it, but it refers to the Harley shirt guy. If you just Google 9/11 Harley shirt guy, I'm checking in more about it and more on that next week. Mark Adrian Humphrey and the 9/11 Harley shirt guy. But let's hurry up and get the latest in the look back on all that we could glean from the latest gathering of the world finance oligarchs at the Bilderberg 2009 meeting that was held last week near Athens, Greece. Bilderberg 2009, chaos, control, and the cost. We first have an updated attendee list that features all your favorites, like Kissinger, Coca-Cola, and Facebook, all blending in together. But again, from Paul Joseph Watson, Bilderberg fears losing control in chaos-plagued world. Investigative journalist Daniel Estelin, whose information from inside Bilderberg has routinely proven accurate, states that the global elites plan to completely destroy the economy and ultimately lower global population by two-thirds has stoked fears even within Bilderberg itself that the fallout from such chaos could ultimately result in the globalists losing their control over the world. In a telephone interview, Daniel Estelin, author of The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, reiterated his original points about Bilderberg 2009's agenda, which were released in a pre-meeting booklet to members, with a link for you. These include the notion that investors whipped up into a false state of euphoria by the belief that the economy is recovering are being suckered into plowing their money back into the system as a setup for massive losses and searing financial pain in the months ahead as the stock market reverses its uptrend and plummets to new lows. We wonder, he's not on the list, but some sources are saying that John Kerry was at the Athens Bilderberg meeting last week. If this is true, we can expect Skull and Bones Kerry to make a prominent return to the globalist stage. If he was there, they're prepping him to come out and be in charge of something. And it probably won't be good for you and I. There's a documentary called Chasing Bilderberg. That playlist is all linked up for you. Meanwhile, the Bilderbergers are advancing in Norway. We also have a whole slew of videos that you can check out and articles. We Are Change, I believe out of Ohio and Florida and other places, confront Soledad O'Brien, Fareed Zakaria, and others on their connections to and defense of Bilderberg, the Council on Foreign Relations, and secret societies in general. But, again, we note, always interesting work from Russia Today, recently featuring Alex Jones on the Bilderberg Club's plans.
Well, we know a lot about the Bilderberg Group. It was officially founded in 1954 at the Bilderberg Hotel in the Netherlands, and that's why it's its name, Club Bilderberg. But really, it was a meeting of what was left of the European financial elite, the German financial elite, the Krupps, and others that had funded Hitler with the Anglo-American British U.S. elite. And so kind of a teaming up during the Marshall Plan of those two groups. He classified U.S. Army documents that have been covered by major British and U.S. newspapers firm that actually the Nazis, when they were losing in 1944, planned to put their money into offshore corporations to try to have a rebirth of the Fourth Reich, the Third Reich as a Fourth Reich, through a corporate system based around the European Union. And so it's on record that the Nazi Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, consort to the Queen, Queen Beatrix, actually set up the Bilderberg Group meeting officially in 54. But it was set up really before that. And so it is an international group. Many of their minutes have been released, stolen by the press, but the Bilderberg Group has recently even given interviews. Etienne Davignon, the Viscount, that is the chairman of it, admitting that they set up the European Union by stealth. So this is world domination by 130 of the richest royalty and financial oligarchs and industrial oligarchs of the world who combine their forces together to overthrow democratic processes worldwide and to bring in a one world government run by private international banks that we will pay our fraudulent fake carbon taxes to. And all these decades we've warned people, they've now admitted it all and are kind of coming out in the open, announcing they want a world government to control every facet of our lives. So this is world tyranny, world imperialism by a group of private banks that use command and control economies, socialist economies predominantly, to socialize the country's wealth, but then conduit that to the private bankers above them.
Another one from Paul Joseph Watson, Stop Bilderberg's Nightmare Future at All Costs, where we note someone we mentioned last week. London Guardian journalist Charlie Skelton, who began his coverage of the 2009 Bilderberg Conference in a jovial and mocking manner, is now warning that the horrendous treatment dished out to him by both police and undercover spies is just a taste of what we can expect to see in our daily lives if we allow Bilderberg's agenda, and specifically ID cards and implantable microchips, to be implemented. Initially setting out to cover the event in a satirical way, Charlie Skelton left Greece chilled to the bone about how he had been harassed, detained, and stalked for days on end by authorities merely for taking photographs of the hotel where Bilderberg members were staying. My experience over the last several days in Greece has granted me a single diamond-hard opinion that we must fight, fight, fight now, right now, this second, with every cubic inch of our souls to stop identity cards. The links are there for you to read all of the dispatches from Charlie Skelton, writing for The Guardian on Bilderberg 2009. The last bit, or one of the last bits, we'll note here on Bilderberg 2009, again from Paul Joseph Watson, by way of ABC News, and how they've been reporting on a secret meeting of the rich, yet they completely ignore the Bilderberg Group. At least on May 20th, ABC News was prominently promoting a three-page story of a secret meeting of rich philanthropists which took place earlier this month in New York, and yet one of the biggest news corporations in America was completely silent during a far more important meeting of around 150 of the world's power brokers at the Bilderberg Conference last week. The ABC News story is called America's Richest Givers Secret Meeting. I swiped it. It's up on youtube.com/mediamonarchy.
Price of admission is $1 billion and a philanthropic heart, and that meets the pricing requirements recently held in a secret meeting, a private meeting in New York City. ABC's John Berman has the scoop on who was there and what was going on.
Behind closed doors on this New York campus, a secret gathering of some of the world's most powerful people. Gates, Buffett, Bloomberg, Winfrey. It was like, well, it was like the Super Friends.
In the great hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes.
Together with others at the meeting, including George Soros, Ted Turner, David Rockefeller, they're worth more than $125 billion.
To have been in the room and see this meeting of the minds really would have been a fascinating thing.
That much money, that much power around one table, it begs the question, what were they doing? What were they scheming? Total world domination?
This group, together for 6 hours, was talking about charity, education, emergency relief, global health.
All my friends are philanthropic. Well, they probably wouldn't be my friends.
An official at the Gates Foundation told ABCNews.com the overwhelming reason for the meeting was need. That was the issue that galvanized everyone to participate. Together, they've given away $70 billion since 1996. And with the sagging economy, their help could be just what struggling charities need.
Charities are hurting, and somebody has to speak for all these charities, and if they want philanthropy to be robust in the future in the United States, these are the people where you really want to be talking about.
The new Superman and Wonder Woman, the super rich friends, not fighting bad guys, but fighting for good nonetheless. For Good Morning America, John Berman, ABC News.
Yes, apparently one of the things they discussed was what each of them knows about what really works and what doesn't work, so they can concentrate their resources.
Now, of course, we'll first note that Diane Sawyer is, of course, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and that they basically want you to pay attention to the slick celebrity rich folks that you know and love, but pay no attention to the real powers behind the curtain who have names that you don't know. One more funny bit we'll note from this, and within the written report, ABC says, quote, "There remain as many questions about the meeting's details as there are about the logistics behind its organization. How did some of the world's most public figures coordinate their schedules, travel, and security with no one in the media knowing about it?" Well, gee, how on earth did they do that? Because of the complicity of places like ABC News not reporting it. ABC News, of course, owned by the Walt Disney Company, vice chairman of which is Roy Disney, nephew of Walt Disney. Roy Disney is a Bilderberger member himself, having attended the secretive cabal's 1999 conference in Sintra, Portugal. Bilderberg 2009, Chaos, Control, and the Cost. We'll make a brief mention and notice of episode 86 of the Corbett Report, Medical Martial Law. Top scientists are saying that the current swine flu outbreak came from a vaccine lab, but you're not going to hear that in the controlled corporate media, or at least not anymore, you won't. Nor will you hear about Bilderberg's plans to use the pandemic hysteria to flex the muscles of their nascent global government. It's episode 86 of the Corbett Report, Medical Martial Law, where I also add some extra notes on Bilderberg. A dispatch from Jim Tucker on AmericanFreePress.net, where he attends the Troublemakers Convention. We've got the video of the interview with James Corbett and Daniel Estulin. We note that Bilderberg wants a global health department and a global treasury. I'm sure that'll work out well. But now we've mentioned the swine flu, so we may as well run down the ugly list of updates. We hit you at the top with the flashbacks to the four previous massive postings on swine flu. The first, of course, swine flu unleashed. The second, the sand, the happening right at your door. The third, swine flu week two in decline or incubating. And the fourth one, exploitation and human experimentation. This one, Theories, Queries, and Phase 6, where we note from the New York Times that the World Health Organization says swine flu didn't come from an accident in a lab.
The guy behind this theory is a respected Australian researcher. He is submitting his report for publication today, but it already has scientists all over the world talking.
It is an intriguing question. What if the swine flu virus that has killed 61 people, spread to 30 countries, was not something that occurred in nature, but was instead man-made in a laboratory? That is the question that Dr. Adrian Gibbs is raising. He's a respected scientist who was involved in the research that led to the development of Tamiflu. He claims the new swine flu virus might have been accidentally created in a lab by scientists using eggs to grow viruses and make new vaccines.
It might be some simple error that has not been recognized.
The World Health Organization is investigating his claim right now. However, here in the U.S., the Centers for Disease Control says it has reviewed Dr. Gibbs' report and says there's no evidence to support it, a conclusion many experts we spoke to found very comforting.
Technically, it's plausible, but not likely.
In this case, I'm not concerned that this virus represents anything other than a naturally occurring mixture of viruses found in nature.
But even if it didn't happen in this case, how concerned should we be generally about the possibility of bugs escaping from labs? After all, it happened with foot and mouth disease in England. Again, experts we spoke to said security and regulations at labs have been getting tougher and better all the time.
So, as we begin to run out of time on this 124th episode of MediaMonarchy.com, as we've noted before, the possible prepping for the Summer of Rage, as they called it, we also are being prepped for perhaps the fall of the flu, meaning this autumn, the flu and the swine flu and all the vaccinations may return with a vengeance. So let's run down the quick list of the rest of the updates. Theories, Queries, and Phase 6. By way of truthnews.us, question mark, World Health Org to declare Phase 6 on swine flu. Swine flu hits India and Turkey, that's from the BBC. Flu could reschedule Meccan Hajj, that's from Press TV. The CDC notes that the flu virus is not going away. Swine flu strikes New York assistant principal. First legal action targets a pig farm. That's from Time Magazine, and I'm sure it's about Smithfield Farms. The World Health Org says swine flu set to spread. That's from the AFP. New York schools in lockdown after Mexican flu scare. That's from Big News Network. And also the CDC swine flu report is a gross underestimate. Updates from May 20th. Swine flu may have infected more than 100,000 Americans. New flu virtually everywhere in the U.S. now, says the CDC. That's from alertnet.org. Swine flu not yet a full-blown pandemic. UK and Japan tell WHO. That's from The Guardian. The UN to discuss the vaccine. Coming soon for you. WHO may raise alert level as swine flu cases leap in Japan. That's from the New York Times. And companies could vaccinate 4.9 billion against H1N1. That's from Reuters. And the last updates from yesterday, May 21st, again, swine flu spreading in Japan, forcing school closures. That's from the Washington Post, and as well from the AFP, schools closing in Boston. U.S. deaths hit the double digits. That's from the Associated Press. Google says that more people will die from the swine flu if they aren't allowed to retain search data. Who hesitates in declaring flu pandemic? That would be Phase 6, and that's again from the AFP. Prison outbreak. Four more have swine flu at Rikers Island. That's from WCBSTV.com. Arsenic in contaminated water increases your susceptibility to the H1N1 influenza. That by way of naturalnews.com. Mexico City lifts swine flu curbs. That's from the BBC. Late last night, early this morning, and finally from the Washington Post, a new study detects a flu immunity in older people. We've noted that this virus was seemingly acting different, as it didn't seem to immediately hit the usual suspects, infants and the elderly. We saw this killing 25 to 40-year-olds. So I'm sure that's not the last we'll hear about the swine flu. And again, I've put a massive amount of research materials available for you on MediaMonarchy.com. You can follow it yourself. Again, all I do is put it into a new context for you. I'm not a genius, not a crystal ball reader. I just like to read and gather a lot of information. So that's one thing, you know, we make the mistake sometimes of saying that the mainstream media lies. They don't always lie. And perhaps if they do, it's by omission. But they just maybe don't do the follow-up work and do the context work. So anytime we're talking about the CDC and vaccines and viruses and pandemics, I always want you to check out the labs and where a lot of these things are created from. So whether we're talking about Plum Island or Pirbright and Foot and Mouth in the UK, Portendown Labs, Lyme disease coming from Plum Island, at least being helped along. One update, not on the swine flu, but just on the general paranoia and the media memes that we track. We covered the story last week. Scientists arrested for smuggling vials used in Ebola research into the U.S. That was, of course, Conan Michelle Yao, who took some labs across the border from Winnipeg's National Microbiology Lab. We covered that last week with a video and a clip and tons of articles, but we have one interesting update real quick from the Winnipeg Free Press. The lab didn't tell the police that the vials were stolen. This from last Friday, the 15th. Dateline Winnipeg. No one from Winnipeg's National Microbiology Laboratory bothered to report the theft of 22 vials of biological material to police, despite an international uproar over a former researcher accused of smuggling the substances across the U.S. border. Of course, taking them to what was going to be his new job at a new bio lab in Bethesda, Maryland. I think I hit most of the breaking news for you at the top of the show. It looks about the same now. Again, we note West Virginia, Ohio, and Rhode Island lead the jump in jobless rates in the country. However, let's quickly turn to the list of creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. Always interesting. And again, I need to do more work, as this first hit will show you. The Blue Shield of California out of Sacramento, they Googled a former CIA office, William Bennett. Now, as I noticed, a recent uptick in the interest in the curious murder of William Bennett, if you recall, beaten to death in Loudoun County. When I wondered why I was getting so much attention lately, it's because they've arrested some guys related to this case. Now, I haven't had time to collect all the work and post up a new update on the murder of William Bennett, but now they've got some folks arrested, and it looks like they're going to go for the gangland crime angle that I don't really buy for a second. So, look to see more updates on the murder of William Bennett from MediaMonarchy.com very soon. American Airlines out of Dallas, Texas, Googled Exercise Falcon Virgo. Remember, that was the airplane drill over D.C. last Friday morning. We had the Mayo Foundation out of Rochester, Minnesota. We had NASA out of Pasadena Google William Bennett, NATO. Goldman Sachs Googled William Bennett murdered. The Virginia Military Institute out of Lexington, Virginia visited. We also had the Navy Network Information Center out of Alexandria Google military corruption. You have to be more specific than that. Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution out of East Falmouth, Massachusetts. Brown University out of Providence, Rhode Island, Googled William Bennett. Cynthia, China. Raytheon Googled SAIC VisiBuilding. That's, of course, our friends at Science Applications International with the technology to look through the walls. USMC Network Operations Center out of Jacksonville, North Carolina, Googled Why Not Minot, which is the name of a post many months ago on MediaMonarchy.com, as we noted all the bizarre happenings surrounding Minot Air Force Base relating to all the untimely deaths of guys who work there, and of course it being the source of the rogue B-52s that flew across the country to Barksdale in Louisiana. Why not Minot? indeed. Again, the Navy Network Information Center out of Pensacola, they were reading about New York Times debunking the Pearl Harbor prior knowledge conspiracy theory. That's, of course, from December 7th, 2008, the anniversary. Merck and Company out of Charlotte Googled, was Tim Russert's death a result of Bilderberg meeting in 2008? Running at Google search myself, I discovered that people say that there are interesting things that surround Bilderberg meetings, whether it's the death of Tim Russert in this case, or Ken Lay, as was posited in an article. And, of course, if you recall, the same time Ken Lay mysteriously dropped dead, you'll recall Colin Powell was immediately rushed to the hospital. So will we see, or perhaps have we seen, mysterious deaths within the week surrounding a Bilderberg meeting? Viacom out of New York City, the Ministerio de Defensa out of Aragon, Spain. We had the United States Department of Transportation out of D.C., NORAD out of Colorado Springs, the City of Stirling out of Perth, Australia, stirling.gov.au, and finally, tacoma.army.mil, headquarters, Fort George G. Meade, Maryland, home of the NSA. They Googled Chicago Tribune 1934 cartoon, planned economy or planned destruction. That was a cartoon we posted a few weeks ago noting the Econo crash, where that cartoon noted the gangsters and banksters riding away on the cart with your money, where they note they'll implode economies and institute a police state. That in a cartoon from the Chicago Tribune, 1934. Those are media memes, my friends, and that's hopefully just one of the reasons why you check out MediaMonarchy.com. That's going to do it for episode 124. It's May 22nd, 2009. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster. As always, coming to you from the Portland Radio Authority and the Revere Radio Network. There were things I was unable to, of course, cram into this episode. Look for them either on a B-side or the next episode. All the latest from Food World Order and the Illuminati. My friends, get active or get radioactive. Take care.
Police would get him just the same.